this time of year is representative of many things to many people. And one of the things is this being the season of preparation and expectation. And when I'm talking about preparation, I'm talking about the reflection in one's interior life, your inner life, preparing for an outside event, something to you want to transpire. And when I personally think of expectation, it means to me that I have absolutely no doubt that what will manifest will happen. It's like flipping on the switch when you turn the light on. Now, 99.9% of the times, it does happen. But I don't even think about it. When I anticipate, I always leave room for doubt. And this may be semantics to some. But obviously, in Western culture, in our culture, at this time of year, theologically speaking, progressive, Tea Party, conservative Christians are in preparation for the birth of a Savior. Some people would say, and I agree, that really the season is about the solstice, but it can be about more than one thing. But whether we are waiting for a bus, whether we are waiting for a paycheck, or whether we are waiting for the Messiah, expectation is in the equation. Expectation, however, is what makes this season, it's what it creates the tension between the what is and what and the not yet. Does that make sense? And so we live in that tension. And because of the holiday season, this year, this time of year promises that something good will happen. It's about expectation. It's a time of year when all of us, men and women, are pregnant with possibility. Now, I realize that some folks who say, I don't want to expect anything. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to risk being disappointed, so we don't want to get our hopes up too high. I've given, or maybe you've given, hints to loved ones about what I want and need under the tree this year, but I'm not sure if maybe Judy or Kevin heard me. I'm not sure. I don't want to get my hopes up too high. Well, I've been working. You know, I've been working so long for justice. I've been marching and I've been praying and working and hoping for a more peaceful world. And so I've done it so long and it hasn't happened yet. I don't want to be unrealistic. I don't want to get my hopes up too high. You know what I'm saying. Having expectations is a risky business, and undoubtedly one does risk getting hurt, getting disappointed, being let down. But we're adults, aren't we? This is what life is about in many ways. And so just getting up in the morning and leaving your home, you're taking a risk. But for me, this is low-hanging fruit. One must risk being disappointed. But there's a realistic expectation. You're always going to be disappointed if you expect someone to react to life the same way you do. But if I want to manifest the life that I want to live, or the life that I say I want to live, I must not only act on what I say I believe, we have our principles to give us some guidelines, but I must act on what I believe about myself and others. I must set my intentions. Intentions are vital. But I must come to expect the good. I must come to expect the beautiful. I must come to expect what is true. And I must expect it to enter my life and remain there. Otherwise, it will not manifest. No one is doing anything to me. I claim it and I manifest it. I believe we have a right as human beings to live with this kind of expectation. And with this expectation, I also want to include gratitude And so I take the risk despite the fact that nothing in life is guaranteed. There is no expectation without risk. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. I was expecting you to ask. Because in that risk, in that expectation, in that thanksgiving, I, and I hope you, I'm always keeping an eye out for miracles. Always. I'm always looking out for the miracle because they do happen. And as A Course in Miracles tells us, and many genuine spiritual paths, the miracle doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be the burning bush, even though that would get my attention. But it's a change in my perception. It's a change, like Wayne Dyer says, right? If we look at things differently, the things we look at begin to change. So we have a right to expect miracles in our lives. We have a right, but not only a right, I would say we have a responsibility to risk and to expect. In the back of our hymnal, there's an anonymous reading, number 658. You don't have to look at it now. I've written it down. But it says, to laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out to another is to risk exposing our true self. To place our ideas, our dreams before the crowd is to risk loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. And to live, to really live, is to risk dying. So we're all well aware of the fact that this is the time of year when many people in our society are ill. They're sick. They're suffering from affluenza, right? I shop, therefore I am. And many of us have asked this question in great frustration. Can we finally let go of all the commercialism and the gadgets and all of the stuff? Can we let go of these false gods and get back to the original meaning of the season, whatever that is for you? God, the Great Spirit, the primal cause, call it what you will, is born in every child, whether he or she is born in Kandahar or Baghdad or Queens, New York or Brooklyn or Damascus. New life is precious, for again, it is precious with and pregnant with possibility. But my question to you and myself is, what are you expecting to manifest this season? Michael? What is going to be born into you this season? Have you been true to your vision of yourself and the world that you inhabit? If not, why not? What are you waiting for, or anticipating, or expecting? Are we addicted to bowing our knee to the notions of what is impossible and not realistic? Is our life one of believing that things are simply too good to be true, especially when they're happening to us? Are we not open to the abundance, to the love and joy and creativity that the cosmos has to offer? Are you one of those people where you're just constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop? This time of year is not only a time of expectation, but a time of surprises. Not just a surprise regarding a certain gift one was not expecting, but of the less dramatic and less profound. The simple joy that, and this happened to me just a few weeks ago, I was so happy. You find out that the balance in the checkbook is larger than was initially calculated, and so there was no error made. Thank you. The realization that one does not have the door key and the hour is late, but someone left the latch off the door just in case. There's a report from the doctor that the examination has gone well, while all the while I was convinced, or you were convinced, that the symptoms were indeed serious. The lost wallet is returned with all belongings intact, even the cash. These are the glad surprises of life. But also, expectation can be extremely uncomfortable. I was thinking about when Kevin was born, and she was in a hurry to get to this realm of existence. She got here 5 days early. And, and then I had to watch Judy make up her mind about having the epidural. I would have taken it. It was so much pain. I was like, please, just, I'll take it. Just put it here. It was, I don't know how she did it. I'm glad she did. There's the uncomfortability of having to be patient, to have to be still in a certain situation, or to be silent, which can sometimes make us feel as if we're not in control. Not that we're in control anyway, but it exacerbates it. We're not naive. We realize this time of year that there are people who just don't have the joy that we have at this time of year. An illustration is in order. I know you've read this book, and if you haven't, I commend it to you highly. It's called Blessing the Space Between Us by John Donahue. It's just brilliant, and he's gone on to Life After Life, and he was very heavy into Celtic spirituality. He was an Irishman. He tells the story of the wonders of just everyday life, just taking it one day at a time. And so he writes about a woman awakening beside her husband one morning. Perhaps you've been there. She feels weary at the prospect of the morning's work. It's a daunting day, and she has to mind the children. Yet she stops herself on this particular morning, and she coaxes her heart to realize that, you know what? Things are pretty great in my life. The relationship has deepened recently. The awkwardness with their eldest son has subsided. And the money situation has improved significantly. At this stage in the morning, she's actually singing to herself. As she does her routine breath check in the shower, she finds the lump. This is a day she will not soon forget. Somewhere else that same morning, a man awakes with the gnawing feeling of emptiness. It's an old feeling. He's made friends with it. It's gnawed at him for years, and by now he is adept at managing it. He accommodates himself to another day, and so instinctively he sets the compass of his mind. Later in the morning at work, he receives a call from a woman he once knew. He had never forgotten her. And he sensed this, that she might have had the measure of his emptiness. And now out of the blue, she's wondering if, can we have dinner together? As he puts down the phone, he imagines he can hear a door opening, and he senses that things in his life from this phone call will never be the same again. These are the twists and turns of living life on planet Earth. What does one do? Shouldn't I be doing something? After all, I'm not a human being. I'm a human doing. Expectation can magnify our doubts. Doubts about ourselves, doubts about our loved ones, doubts about our very lives. Besides, waiting is never really an easy thing to do. And you never know, perhaps I'm waiting in vain. So there's always what? A faith journey involved in the act of expectation, because we've done all we can do and then we have to just let go. And that's scary stuff. I almost got into an argument on Facebook the other day. I pride myself for not being drawn that low. I posted something. I kind of knew people were going to get on it, but it happened to be an ex-in-law. And he and I will talk. Many suffer from depression this time of year. I say that to say because he was upset about Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. I don't have a dog in that hunt. But Dr. Howard Thurman writes to us that there is a strange irony in the salutation, Merry Christmas. Especially when we acknowledge that that for most of the inhabitants of the planet, people live with their lives, they're up against the wall. Struggling for food they don't possess and for resources that have long been exhausted. Perhaps you've been there at one time or another. There's always seems to be more month at the end of the money. And despite these facts, Christmas still symbolizes hope. When even at this moment, for some, the very notion of hope seems utterly fantastic. And I once heard a therapist tell me that hoping was not a process. And it isn't, because you have to do some footwork. But I believe in hope. The season of Advent and Christmas, which get their origins from the winter solstice, are about light, darkness, a newborn baby, a family, friendly animals, and labor. This is it in a nutshell. The only answer to death is the endless process of birth. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because life is ever moving forward. Life seeks to fulfill itself, always in the way, always affirming hope, no matter what the level of despair. Permit me another illustration. A bus is traveling along a bumpy road in the south. In one seat, an old man is holding a fresh-cut bunch of flowers. Across the aisle, he notices a young girl, and her eyes keep darting back to him and the flowers. The time comes for the old man to get off the bus, and impulsively, he thrusts the flowers into the lap of the little girl. And he says, "I see you love flowers. I think my wife would like for you to have them too. I'll tell her that I gave them to you." The girl accepted the flowers, and then she watched the old man get off the bus and walk through the small gate of a cemetery. We've all heard the story by Dan Millman about the little girl named Lisa who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease. The doctor explained the situation to the little boy and said, "Are you willing to give this blood to your sister?" And, you know, after some hesitation, he says, yeah, I will, if it will save her. As the transfusion progressed, he lays in the bed next to his sister and he smiles. He sees the color returning to her cheeks. He sees the life in her being reignited. And then his face grew pale and ashen, and as that happened, his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he had to give all of his blood to his sister. Expectation, anticipation, and now we can add courage. Perhaps there is some truth to the statement that birth rates seem to increase during times of war when we are hell-bent on destroying one another. Again, Howard Thurman reminds us that the contradictions, I love this phrase, the contradictions of life are not final. And he reminds us that all of us have a crown held up over our head that each day we are growing tall enough to wear. And so we light our candles, we light our chalice, we light our menorahs, our candles of joys and sorrows, of fear and hope and courage. And hopefully these candles of love will burn all year long within us. We are not simply spectators in this life. We are not simply victims, but we are willing participants. And so the message is that we are never really alone, ever alone. Dr. King was right when he said, we all have cosmic companionship. This is also the time of year not only for expectation, but for affirmation, when we affirm ourselves, our loved ones and friends. Perhaps if we work hard enough, perhaps, we will affirm even those, and this is always a tough one for me, people we love but don't like. Happy Thanksgiving. We affirm that life is good for us if we really look hard enough, and there are possibilities of more love given and received, more forgiveness given and received. And so for expectation is about possibility. An old year is dying, a new one is coming. A wise rabbi said 2,000 years ago that we don't put old wine into new wineskins. The season of expectation can remind each of us that if we are deeply alive, this year is not the end of life. It's not the end of us. It's not even the end of time. We turn our faces toward this time of year with renewed courage, expectation, and resilience. When all is said and done, it's all about expectation because anything is possible. I want to draw your attention to a reading in our hymnals. You can read it later. I'm paraphrasing it. It's by Sister Sarah Moores Campbell, number 664. She talks about the spirit of the child, which we all saw here. Spirit of life, God, if you will, give us the spirit of the child who lives within, the child who trusts, the child who imagines, the child who sings, the child who receives without reservation and expects the same thing in return. Give us the child's eyes that we may receive and expect beauty in return. Give us the freshness of this new day. Give us a child's ears to hear Catherine's music, the music of the spheres. She didn't write that. But I'm saying that to you. Give us a child's heart that we may be filled with wonder and delight. Give us a child's faith that we may be cured of our cynicism. Give us the spirit of the child who is not afraid to need, not afraid to love. And may we expect the same in return. May we all expect and discover this season the wisdom found in patience and in the simple act of expectation. Peace be with you all. Amen and blessed be.